their life so that we can have freedoms here that we enjoy, so that we can have moments like this where we gather together publicly to worship you. And so God, today I thank you that you have given us this freedom. And God, even with all of its issues and things that we may not agree with, God, this is still the greatest country to live in. And so God, you have blessed us by allowing us to call this home. And so for those who've given their lives so that we can continue to be free and do the things that we do, God, thank you for them. And thank you for their families who have also sacrificed. And we pray that you would bless them and that you would honor them, God, for their sacrifice. And so, God, today we pray for our nation, God, as it seemingly sits on the brink of going down some very slippery slopes and some very dangerous areas that are clearly not the places that you've set out in your word for us to be. God, may you honor the lives of those who sacrificed, God, by bringing our country back in line with who it is that you want it to be. And God, help us to not be willing to sit back and watch things happen, but God, that we would be willing to serve and to sacrifice ourselves so that our country and our freedoms can be all that they are meant to be. So God, today we just honor those families who have sacrificed and those who've given their lives. God, thank you so much for all that this nation stands for and for all those who've given so much for it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. All right, so today we begin a brand new series on prayer. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. For those of you that don't know me, thank you so much for being here. But today we start a brand new series, and just participate with me, kind of just humor me for a second. Let's all just be completely transparent in the room. If you wish you had a better prayer life, just raise your hand. Yeah, I think if we're all honest, we probably all would love to be able to have a better prayer life, to have a better hold and grip on this amazing tool that God's given us to have to access Him. And so today I want us to begin a series on prayer that is going to help us be able to dig down into the foundations of this thing that we have in front of us, this powerful tool, this amazing weapon, if you will, that allows us to be able to just see God do things that just would amaze us and would allow us to be all that He wants us to be. So we're going to begin this series. It's going to take a few weeks. We're going to spend today just talking how to talk to God, just how that works, how to do it. Just some real foundations for that. And I believe when you leave here today, you'll be able to walk out of here and truly be able to have some good conversation, good communication with Him. Next week, we're going to spend some time about the mystery of unanswered prayers. You know, we probably all prayed something that didn't happen, at least not the way we prayed for it to. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like and, you know, why we pray for one thing, it doesn't happen, and the person beside us prays something very similar and it happens for them. So we're going to kind of dig down into that. And then the last week, we're going to spend some time going through the Lord's Prayer. You know, if you want to know how to do something right, ask the one who invented it, the one who made it. And so we're going to look at Jesus' example of how to pray and spend some time just kind of dissecting that and unpacking it and how we can plug that into our own lives. And so today we're going to begin with, how do we talk to God? You know, how do we do that? I think one of the things we have to talk about before we talk about that, though, is why don't we do more of it? If we all raise our hands and say, hey, I'd like to have a better prayer life, then we need to figure out why we don't, because it's something we all have access to. So why don't people pray more? Well, the number one reason, or one of the reasons at least, is not sure you know how to pray. Most people don't know, not really sure that they know all there is to know about it, and so they're afraid to take advantage of it. You know, is it legal to pray about this, or is this out of bounds, or, you know, do I have to pray loud for God to hear me, or do I have to pray soft and be really reverent? Do I have to bow my head and close my eyes? Do you know, or can I do it with them open? You know, if you drive and pray, I certainly hope you keep them open. You know, that could be a little dangerous. So don't, you know, maybe I should, you know, in this day and age of our society, I should put a disclaimer. If you drive and pray, open your eyes, okay? So that's on tape, and so now you can know that I said it. But we just don't know how to pray. Another reason is that we get bored or distracted while trying to pray. Come on. I'm like Mr. ADD, right? I'm praying, and I'm asking God, you know, God, you know, I just pray for my marriage. I pray, you know, I pray for my finances. I pray for my girls. I pray for yeah. Man, did I change the oil in the car? Man, what do I got to do? What am I going to have for lunch tomorrow? You know, what's for dinner tonight? And then before I know it, you know, I'm up moving around, and, you know, I never even finished what I was praying about. Never even got to the good stuff sometimes, you know, because I get distracted in my mind. Anybody feeling me on that a little bit? You know, the whole ADD praying thing? Yeah, so you know, some of you are already, you're not even paying attention to what I'm saying. You're already ADD'd out of here. So I get that. It happens. We get bored and distracted. So what happens? Since we get distracted, we just don't do it. So one of the reasons we don't pray is because we get bored or distracted. Another one is that we think your requests are too small for God. We often think that the little things, you know, God's this powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-everywhere, all-powerful God, and surely the little thing that I want him to do is just he didn't care about that. It's too small. You know, I'll just fix it myself. So I won't bother him with it. I'll just, you know, I'll try to figure out my own way. And guess what? You know, if you're like me, my way always gets me in trouble. It just doesn't work out. And so often we think it's that we're bothering God if we bring stuff to him. And so we just don't do it. Final reason that is in the top of why we don't pray is this, that we're not sure our prayers will make a difference. We're just not sure they'll even make a difference. You know, we prayed for something to happen, and we prayed and prayed and we prayed, and it never happened. And so when other things come along, we just assume God's not interested in that either, and it's just not going to make a difference. And so we just don't do it. We just don't pray. We don't bring those things to him. And so we end up with this kind of half-hearted, you know, belief that there's even a God. And so why should I take something to him if he doesn't even, you know, really care and doesn't exist? And so we find ourselves not praying more. So today, I just want us to talk about how to talk to God, how to talk to him, and how to have a communication with him and a relationship with him. So let's just begin with kind of a ground floor, foundational kind of thing. Let's talk about what prayer is. And let's just define it, and it's really easy to define. Prayer is communicating with God. That's it. It's communicating with God. It's very simple to bring it down to just this one little statement of communicating with him. And so that's where we find ourselves. And the scripture says that we can boldly come before him with anything that we have. That we can boldly come before him having access to God, to the creator of everything that we see. That prayer is just us simply getting to talk to him and him talking to us. Remember, communication, the problem we have with communication is that often it's one-sided, right? That's why communication breaks down in so many different things, whether it's work or school or home or whatever. And it's often the reason that prayer breaks down is because it becomes one-sided. And we'll talk some more about that. But communication is a two-way street. And we have access to God, and he wants to have access to us. He wants to talk to us. And so it's communicating with him. I love the words that the psalmist David writes in Psalm chapter 5 in verses 1 through 3. Listen to how he puts it. He says, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing." Now think about a sigh. A sigh can say a lot of things, can't it? If I come up beside my wife, Kelly, and I'm messing with her and kind of poking around at her, and you know, and I come up and, you know, I hadn't done the things that she's asked me to do, and I've just been, you know, kind of me, and I come up and I put my arm around her and I hug her and pull her on in tight, and, you know, I'm going to get a sigh, but it's going to be one of those, I can't believe I'm married to this goofball sigh, you know, the whole, you know, kind of thing. I'm gonna get the rough sigh, and so it's going to be an uncomfortable sigh because she's not going to be happy with me because I'm being a jerk, you know. But then I can also come over and hug on her and pull her in all tight and sweet and love on her, you know, and I can get a different kind of sigh. I can get the, not that sigh. This is PG today, thank you. I can get that kind of sigh of, you know, I guess he's not such a goofball after all. You know, I'm pretty happy to have such an incredible man like this, and yeah, he really is that awesome. Yeah, I don't get that one much, but I get it every once in a while, you know. But there's different kinds of sighs, right? We have those kind of things in our own thing when we're communicating with people. We can sigh, you know, when that person walks in that we just don't like, you know. It's just kind of, you know, kind of thing. And then there's the sigh when people we love come in. It's, yeah, you know, we're glad they're here. And so God knows what our sighs are like, though. And David says, consider my sighs. Consider how I'm coming to you, that I may not even have words to give you right now, but consider just where I'm at. He says that we can come and you know what I'm thinking even when I can't think it, you know, I can't even verbalize it. I can't even get it out. He goes on, he says, pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for I pray to you. At daybreak, Lord, you hear my voice. Here's the thing we need to understand, that when we have a relationship with God, that he hears our voice. The Creator, y'all, the one who made everything, the one who, you know, spoke it into being, you know, in the beginning, he hears your voice. And he wants to have that communication with you. He wants you to be in conversation back and forth. He says, at daybreak, I plead my case to you and I watch expectantly. David lays it out there that, listen, we need to be expecting something. Prayer is not just us telling God what to do, but it's asking God what it is that he wants us to do and then expecting him to answer. See, sometimes I think we pray stuff and we pray it in the sense of just telling God what we want to happen and we expect it to happen because we said so. Listen, I believe David's talking about expecting it to happen because he is so. We need to understand that God is who is in control and that he hears our cries and he knows our hearts. But listen, he has a better plan for us and he has something for us and we need to be expecting it to be there for us, to him to speak to us and to know that he answers us when we pray. Think about this thing. Think about when you're in a crowd full of people and it's noisy all around. It's sometimes hard to hear the voice of the person that's closest to you, isn't it? Sometimes when we find ourselves in a noisy place, the voices get drowned out. When I go to lunch with my daughter Allie at Albemarle Middle, I go in there and I usually get there maybe like sometimes before the first class gets in that room. And it's a room, I don't know, maybe a little bit bigger than this. But you get in there and that first class comes in. You know, before they get there, you might hear a few little dishes in the kitchen or, you know, little things where they're knocking around back there, but it's pretty quiet. But that first class comes in and the decibels go up. And the next class comes in, it goes up a little higher. And then by about the fourth or fifth class, it's like you can't hear yourself think. And I'm sitting in a booth with my daughter and her little friends, and they're, you know, trying to talk back and forth, and I can't hear, you know, you're having to repeat yourself like 10 times because you can't hear nothing because all these kids are like talking at the top of their voice, and you can't hear the person you're trying to have a conversation with. But listen, for that's us. But even when we're in the midst of the most incredible turmoil and noise and everything else this world can can put out, God still hears our voice. He has no issues with that. And so wherever you find yourself, you can cry out to Him and know that He will hear your voice. We're able to come to Him and have this conversation with Him. He wants us to be able to talk back and forth. For some of us, when we come pray, maybe you're like the traditional little kiddie prayer. You kneel beside your bed and you cross your hands and you pray like this. And that's cool. You know? I just would love to get a little picture of you, because I would pick on you about it, because it's kind of funny. Let's just see people, a grown person, pray like that. Nothing wrong with it. I just would pick on you, okay? I'm just saying. So y'all are going to like, I'm not going to let Ron know I do that. But it's okay. Listen, some of you, that's how you pray. And that is perfectly fine. You know, for me, if I get down there on my knees, I'm probably not going to get back up. You know, that's really, I'm kind of jealous. You know, that's why I'm picking on you. But for some of us, we may pray that way. For some of us who can sing, we may sing our prayers. You know, I'm not going to do that, because God would zap me dead from, you know, because, you know, I know the whole joyful noise thing, but He's like, Ron, you're taking that to a whole new limit. You know, so I'm not singing my prayers, but you can do that, and that's fine. He wants to hear that. He wants to hear us come to Him with our communication. For some of us, you know, our prayers sometimes come in with tears. They come in cries. He hears those cries. For some of us, it's that we come with these joys and screams of rejoicing who God is, of thanksgiving, knowing that He's heard us and He's answering our prayers. And listen, He hears that as well. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have access to, and God wants us to be able to use it to communicate with Him. But we've got to choose to pick it up and use it. It doesn't just happen. We've got to make a choice to use it. So let's talk about some ways to use this ability to talk to God. All right, so here's how we do it. Here's some ways that we do it. We talk to God with gut-level honesty. We talk to God with gut-level honesty. That means just being real with God. You know, you ever been with somebody that you know, you're hanging out with them and they're just talking all normal and, you know, dude, let's get lunch, man. Dude, I'm hungry. You know, hey, I want to grab some grub. Let's do this. And it's like, all right, yeah. Hey, will you pray for the meal? It's like, yeah, dude, I'll do that. Thy Father, thou art the most gracious God, and we thankest thou for all of thou givings and all of thou's things and thou's and these and all that stuff. You know, and it's like, and then they say amen, and then they're like, yeah, dude, you know, they're back to themselves. And it's like, what happened right there? You know, where did that dude come from? Where did that being come from, you know, 1633? You know, where did he come from with all the these and thous? It's like he totally transformed, you know, himself. And the thing about prayer is that God wants you to come to Him just like you are. We don't have to speak in old, you know, King James English. He just wants us to come and be able to just communicate with Him. He desires to have that kind of communication. He wants us to be gut-level honest that, God, this is where I am, this is who I am, and I want to have a conversation with You because of who You are and because of what You've done in my life and who You've made me and who I want to be because You've made me to be that. He wants us to be open and honest with Him, to have that true daddy relationship. I mean, if my girls came up to me and said, oh, grandest daddy, you know, you are the most omnipotent and all-knowing daddy in the world, you know, I would probably like it for a little while, but it would get old, you know, because the whole, you know, just that, I don't want that. I want them, I want to be daddy. I want them to just be real with me and to always be able to know that I accept them there where they are, and that, you know, no matter where it is, we can get through whatever. And so we've got to be able to be honest with Him the same way. He wants that relationship. Listen, even when we're frustrated with God, He wants us to come honest about it. He wants us to come and just be real with Him. There's examples in the Bible where people came and they were frustrated. And they still came to God. And listen, let me just tell you that God is secure enough to handle that from us. He's not going to get upset. He's not going to get thrown off track. He's not going to, you know, pout or any of that stuff like we do oftentimes. He's secure enough to handle it. A great example of that is with Moses in Exodus chapter 5, starting in verse 22. It says, so Moses went back to the Lord and asked, Lord, why have you caused trouble for this people? And why did you ever send me? Ever since I went in to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has caused trouble for this people, and you haven't delivered your people at all. I mean, he's kind of sarcastic a little bit in the beginning of, you know, why'd you even do it? And now he's saying, look, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. And he calls God out in this sense of you, why didn't you do it? You know, we asked you to do something, you said you were going to do it, and now look at what you've gotten us into. God wants us to be even honest when we feel frustrated and when we're at our wit's end. He wants us to come to him so that he can then begin to reveal himself to us and show us what it is that he wants us to learn. He wants us to be honest, to always be able to be open about who we are and where we're at. God, I'm nervous about this. God, I'm upset. You know, I'm frustrated. I'm beginning to doubt who you are, God. He wants us to be honest in those situations, because that's when he begins to show us his purposes and when he begins to help us understand who he is. You know, Jesus spoke out against people who didn't pray right, but he only did it in two different times, and they were really in almost back-to-back scriptures. The only times he ever criticized somebody for how they prayed had nothing to do with them coming frustrated to God. Had nothing to do with them coming and being upset with God, mad at God, questioning God, anything else. Here's the two times he criticized them, and we need to be careful to avoid them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He said this, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. He's saying, listen, you don't have to stand up in front of everybody, and you don't have to use these long, eloquent, you know, loud prayers for everybody else to hear. You don't need to go out on the corners, you know, and make sure people see you pray. And he's just making sure there's nothing wrong with that if you do it with the right heart. But he's saying, look, don't go out there for other people. He says prayer is a communication between you and God, and you certainly don't need an audience to do it. Prayers don't have to be long and lengthy to be powerful and answered. God, thank you for this food because you provided it. Amen. That's it. You know, you don't have to go to McDonald's and go through the whole, you know, family list before you eat your Big Mac. You can just simply thank him for the food and get on with it. It doesn't have to be drawn out. He simply wants you to acknowledge who he is and that you are truly thankful. And so prayer is not something that has to be drawn out. The second part of that is when you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Same thing. You don't have to draw it out. You can keep it simple and to the point, and the power will be there in it. So listen, when we're going to talk to God, we got to do it with gut level honesty. We also need to do it about everything that matters to us. If we're going to pray, we need to be honest, and we need to pray about everything that matters to us. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't worry about anything, but in what? Everything. What's included in everything? Huh? Everything, right? I mean, it's all that. Big, little, all that. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That means that we can bring everything before him. We don't have to hold back on the little stuff that we think is too small for him to care about. We just need to be able to be honest with him and lay it out there. If it's important to us, listen, it's important to him. You know, my daughters come to me with stuff, and sometimes it seems so trivial And listen, it's got to be important to me because it's important to them. You know, I'm just being honest and transparent. There are times where they bring stuff to me and I'm like, it's a waste of my time, okay? But it's not wasting their time, and so I need to not let it waste my time. I need to make it important to me. I'm riding along in the car with Allie, my 12-year-old, the other night, and she begins to talk about what makes a guy cute to her. And so she's telling me all these things that makes a guy cute to her, and says, you know what I mean, Dad? Nope, I'm afraid to say I don't, hon, you know? But you know, I said, I thought what makes a guy, you know, handsome to you, is, you know, he's about 5'10" and a half, and he's, you know, dark hair, nice little goatee. You know, that's what I think, you know, should be, you know, good looking to you and handsome and all that. That's, I mean, you know, and I said, of course you gotta love God, you know, that's important. But she didn't like that at all. But anyway, but the truth is, that was important to her. That was an important conversation because she was, you know, just into all this stuff. And so I had to make it important to me, you know. Just don't tell her I didn't really care, okay? Because, you know, because it don't matter. She's not going to date one anyway until she's like 30. So it don't matter how cute she thinks they are. So we need to know that we can come and just talk about what matters to us. You know, because it really does matter to me what she thinks. It really does matter. That way I can communicate with her and she and I can have that kind of relationship so she'll always be honest with me. I'm not gonna cut her off because I want her to know that she can come to me when she needs to. Whether it's about a cute boy or life just not going her way, I want her to be able to do that. And God wants the same thing for us to come to him. All through the scriptures, there were prayers that went out from people that needed things to happen in their lives, that they were searching for in their lives. We think of Zacharias. He wanted a son, and so he said, God, please give me a son. Solomon, he wanted wisdom, and so he said, above all else, give me wisdom. Moses and Samson both asked for water in a time when there wasn't water. Daniel had a weird dream. He didn't understand the dream, so he asked God to help him understand his dream. Some of us got some things that we're wondering about in our lives. Listen, just ask him. Ask him. Because it matters to him, if it matters to you. You need to ask him for that. Gideon felt called by an angel of the Lord to do something. So he was like, God, if it's you, this is what you want, then give me a sign and I'll do it. Abraham had a servant who prayed that God would give him favor for a wife for Isaac. Grant me success today, he prayed, on my journey. David prayed for forgiveness after sinning with Bathsheba. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Listen, I believe that there's a prayer that so many of us need to pray. It's God, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me where I've messed up. And help me to be restored into the relationship that you want to have with me. So that you truly hear my prayers and you answer them, and you're able to do it because I'm in a right place with you. Listen, we have access to God all the time. Sometimes, though, he hears our prayers, he doesn't respond to them, and he doesn't listen because there's something between us and him. And so we need to make sure that we have that kind of relationship and we have it at a right place. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. He said, God, stop, make it stop raining. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he said, God, make it rain, and it rained. That's pretty powerful prayers, right? You pray for it to stop, it stops, and you pray for it to start, and it starts. Because Elijah was praying and seeking God. Paul prayed that there was something that was bothering him, that it would be removed. Guess what? It didn't get removed. But did that mean that God wasn't listening? I don't think so, but I think God used what that was in Paul's life to bring his attention and focus him in so that he was able to pray and he was able to seek God and focus in on him. The disciples, they prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness in the midst of persecution. And listen, there's one prayer that I believe the church is going to have to begin to pray and pray very, very hardly. Pray very very fervently, I guess is the good churchy word to use. But to pray above all else is that we would be strong in persecution. Because let's just face it, I don't want to be one of those doomsday preachers. But listen, you can just watch the news. And things are beginning to shift to where there will be more and more persecution on the church. And we're going to have to be willing to make some decisions to be whether we're going to be bold or whether we're just going to sit back and we're just going to watch things happen and we're going to cower under the pressure of all of that. We need to be able to pray for those kind of things. Pray about everything. Because if it matters to you, it matters to Him. Pray about those things. And you got a car with 261,000 miles, and you're wondering if it's going to make it, you need to pray. You know, I know, because I got one, and I'm praying. You know, it's clicking and clacking and all this stuff. You know, I blew up one motor in the other car, and now I'm afraid I'm getting ready to get another one. You know, I need my mechanic to wave his magic wand back there on it and fix it. But really, you know, you pray for your car. And pray that it lasts. You know, if there's, you got a relationship issue, you know, pray about it. If your spouse is not what you want your spouse to be, pray. And God will either change your spouse or He'll change you. Pray about it. You and your boss aren't getting along, pray about that situation. Don't just assume that it'll get better. Don't assume, even though God knows that He's going to move, ask Him what you're supposed to do in it. Ask Him what He wants to do in it. Talk to Him. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care on Him because He cares about you. That's the God of the universe, y'all. That's the one who has His hand over everything. He cares about you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He cares about us all. And we can cast our anxieties and our worries and all of that stuff on Him because He cares about us. We're going to talk to God openly and honestly. We're going to talk to God about the things that matter most or matter to us. And we're going to talk to Him continually. We need to talk to Him continually. I think that this one can revolutionize your life. This whole continually praying idea, this thought of being able to plug this part in, man, can change you completely. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and through 18 says, rejoice always. Right? We just got off of this series about joy. So we know joy is important. And it says be joyful all the time. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People all the time want to know what God's will is. There it is. He says that's His will for you. To be joyful all the time, to be praying all the time, and to be giving thanks all the time. If we could get that, wouldn't that just change our whole demeanor? I mean, we've been talking a lot in this joy series about being negative and all of that. Just think about if we're joyful and we're praying and we're thankful, how much that would change who we are so much of the time. The King James Version says to pray without ceasing, to pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. Praying continually is kind of one of those things that's just hard for me to do. It's hard for me to sit down and pray in long periods of time. All right, I already confessed my ADD to you and how I drift off, and man, I'm, you know, who knows where I end up. You know, my brother, Pastor Eddie back there, though, can kneel down and he can pray for hours. And when I need somebody to pray, I'm telling you, that's who I call. Because I know he will pray for me and he will lay it out. And he can sit and just do it for hours. He'll be focused in and all of that. I can't do that. So what do? I do it continuously as far as, you know, I just do it as I go. You know, I pray, some of you, I drive by where you work or where you live or whatever, and I drive by, and God brings you mind, I pray for you right then. I'm driving down the road and I'm thumbing through my contacts. I pulled over and I was thumbing through my contacts and I saw your name, so I prayed. So I didn't text you though, that time anyway. So that's recorded, isn't it? Oh my goodness. So I had to cut that piece out. That's the cool thing about sin. You confess it. I'm sorry I did it, and I'm forgiven. Okay. So I think about you and I pray for you. You know, God will bring something to mind, you know, that maybe you've shared or you wrote something on a connection card and that I've been praying for it, but he brings it to mind during the day, and I just pray for you. You know, some of you have been prayed for more than you could ever imagine because I've just driven by and thumbed through my directory or whatever because that's how I do it. I can't sit and go through a whole list of things. I got to do it all day long. You know, and so that's how it works. Pray continuously and keep working through it. Smith Wigglesworth was a great English evangelist, and he said this. He says, I've never prayed for more than 20 minutes at a time, but I've never went more than 20 minutes without praying. And think about that. Never prayed for more than 20 minutes. I think most of us can identify with that. But he's never gone more than 20 minutes without praying. That means that you just pray as you go. And you don't have to be, again, long words and all this stuff. God's not impressed with our eloquence. He's impressed with our faithfulness and our being acknowledging that he is who he says he is. That's what prayer is to be. So we're able to have this ongoing conversation. One guy put it this way. He says, I push all the time. I'm like, you push all the time? What are you talking about? Yeah, I push when I pray. He says, I pray until something happens. I push. And that's a pretty cool way to think. When we're facing something, we need to be praying continuously about it. We need to keep pushing and keep praying about it until something happens. Either God answers the prayer or he changes our heart. He changes our want or our need or whatever that may fall under. But be praying until something happens. Praying until you know that he is working in the situation. Don't give up. When you give up, you may have just been right around the corner from God doing something amazing. So push. Pray until something happens. Keep going. Be consistent. Be like the widow in Luke 18 who faced the unrighteous judge and finally she just kept coming back and finally he gave in to her. God's certainly not unrighteous. But listen, we just need to keep coming to him and let him know what our heart is. Because what matters to us matters to him. What we want may not line up with his will. It may not be what he does want for us, but he will certainly help us to understand why. He will bring things to us to point us in the direction of following him and knowing that he is doing what he needs to do for us, and it's in our best interest. We think about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was praying. And she had this continuous prayer, God, send me a son. And she got caught up in this continual state of prayer. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, it says, while she continued praying in the Lord's presence, Eli watched her lips. Hannah was praying silently. And though her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard. She continuously prayed. She just prayed and her lips just continued to mouth out the words of her prayer. What it says next in verse 13 is that Eli thought she was drunk. All right? So the thing is that she kept on doing it. He thought she was drunk. Some of us need to pray so hard that people just think we're drunk or we're crazy. Okay? It's okay to be thought of as crazy because you're praying too much. I'll take that kind of crazy any day over the craziness that our society sees now of just doing whatever we want and letting ourselves try to fix our own problems. We need to be praying consistently. Don't be afraid to let somebody see you pray. Whether you're driving to work, mowing the yard, fishing, cleaning, you can have a conversation with God. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. You can be looking somebody square in the eye and be praying and them never know that you're praying. So often when people are sharing with me, I'm in a constant state of prayer because I don't want to say what Ron wants to say. I want to say what God wants me to say. And so in the back of my head, yeah, I'm listening and I'm taking that in, but in the back of my head, I am praying that God would just give me whatever words it is that he wants me to have. You've got to be praying consistently. Please don't be giving advice to people that you haven't prayed about. If you haven't prayed about an answer to somebody's thing that they're sharing with you, please don't give them an answer. Just say, you know what, let's just pray together. And I'll be praying for you, and let's come back and talk about it later. But don't pray, or don't give an answer if you haven't prayed about it. Because you could be giving somebody the wrong answer, and they could take it as the right. So don't do that. But we need to be honest with him. We need to come with the things that matter to us. We need to do it continually. And here's the real key, that we need to talk to God and listen for his response. Remember, communication is a two-way thing. We need to be able to have those kind of conversations. Think about how one-sided a conversation could be. I mean, it can be really, some people can really dominate the conversation if you just let them go. I mean, you know, we all know that person. That person that just will just talk, and you just can't get a word in edgewise, and they just dominate it. Sometimes they do it because that's just them. It comes out of their hurt. Sometimes it comes out of their anger. Sometimes it comes out of just them just being a bully. You know, I used to be in sales, and I would get customers that would call, and you know, something was wrong or whatever, and they would just get in my ear and they would just let it go. And I would be trying to calm them down, explain, help them understand, and it was just an overbearing part in the conversation. It's like, you know, dude, listen. If you would just be quiet for like 1 second, you'd realize that the answer to the solution, you know, the whole solution to this problem is like right here, and you're totally out of line. And you totally are being selfish and a bully, and really you're being one-sided in a conversation that needs two sides to reconcile it. And how often do we do that? We do it in our marriages often. You know, one side will take over and just become a bully and just dominate the one side of it, and it's easy. And I just looked at my wife, and she doesn't do that. So I didn't, you know, didn't want to do that. It's like, don't take it, honey. Love you. So anyway, looked right in the eye when I said it. And anyway, so I'll look at y'all. One of y'all must have done it. So you're overwhelmed. You know, you take over, and before long, you've got a one-sided relationship that can't function because it's not being done the way it needs to be done. There's got to be two ways in every conversation, and when it comes to prayer, you've got to be able to be quiet long enough to hear God speak. You got to listen up to what he wants to say to you. Because what happens is you lose the meaningful part of the relationship. The real interaction that you actually care about what he has to say. And so we need to be able to do that. We need to hear God. And sometimes we want to hear him in this loud, booming voice that we feel like we need to answer to. You know, some people are like, you know, if God's, you know, you want me to do it, you're going to have to just audibly say it. You know, it's got to come this way.
Gabe. Your office does not need to be blue and yellow.
That's what it needs. You want to hear that, right? That's what I hear every time I walk by Gabe's office. It shouldn't be blue and yellow, but it is. So, but it doesn't look like a dungeon like my office. So we get back and forth. But we want God's voice to be like booming and loud and say, you know, this is what needs to happen. But that's not always how he speaks to us. Sometimes he speaks in the most soft, quiet whisper. And he comes in and just speaks to us. Elijah faced that same thing. He wanted to hear God's voice, and he was looking for God in all these different sounds, but the reality was he came in this soft whisper. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, it says, at that moment the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Listen, sometimes we look for God in all of this stuff and we want these signs to come. But the truth is, God will whisper to us about what really needs to happen. We know what it is and we hear that whisper, but we ignore it, waiting for the big booming voice. Listen, He will whisper to you in so many ways. He'll whisper to you through your Bible. If you open it up and just begin to read it, He'll whisper things to you. If you'll just listen to the things that the people around you are saying, that you know are praying, that are reading the Word, listen, He'll speak to you in a whisper. He'll let you know through just being around those people, the little things that they'll say and do that will confirm that, hey, this is what He wants for you. God wants to say something to every single one of us. He wants to have a relationship with us, and He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to talk to Him about the things in our lives that are eating at us. He wants us to bring those things to Him. But then He also wants us to take the time to listen. And if there's a piece that I believe we miss in our prayer life, is the listening part. We want to talk all the time, but we need to be able to listen. And when we listen, we'll be able, as we listen more and more and as we hear Him more and more, we'll be able to know His voice, and we won't have to wonder, is that really God talking to me, or is it the pizza I had last night? It won't have to be any of that. We'll know it's Him. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Listen, when we know Him and we tune into His voice, we'll know it. And He says, they know my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We'll be able to do the things that He wants us to do. We'll be able to have the relationship with Him that He created us to have. We need to be able to pray and to talk to God. We need to be able to do that in knowing who He is and knowing what He wants for us, talking to Him and listening to Him, to be able to pray continuously, to be able to pray about the things that matter to us, to be just honest with God and being able to hear what He has to say to us. Listen, Kelly and I, several years ago, actually it was almost 20 years ago, believe it or not now, but we had just been married. Kelly had been traveling on the road with a singing group. We had, she had come off the road. We got engaged, got married, and after about a year, we knew God was doing something in our lives. He wanted to do something. We just didn't know what it was, and we were trying to listen. We were trying to kind of find our way, and we were looking, some of the time we were looking for the big booming voice. Sometimes we were looking for the earthquake to come and shake us and say, this is it. But we just knew He wanted to do something. We couldn't figure out what it was. And she was presented with an opportunity to go back and travel with the group. And the only problem this time, then she just had some small baggage. And this time she had some big baggage, right? She was going to have to drag me along with her. And so we were trying to pray about what is that, because it's a singing group. And I don't sing. Not even a little bit, right? I don't even sing solo. Solo, you can't hear me. I just don't do it because it's bad. And so we were trying to figure out, what do You want us to do, God? So we began to pray, and just so happened a position opened up for somebody to drive the bus for the group and somebody to run sound. Well, I'd never driven anything bigger than a pickup, and I'd never touched anything with all those buttons on it, because it looked like I could really mess something up. So I had no experience, no idea what we could do. And And so we were really struggling with this because I knew that's what she wanted to do. I knew that was something that God was really, you know, he'd gifted her for and was trying to use her in that capacity. And so I was really feeling very inadequate. I was feeling just like, what in the world did I get into? Because, you know, I'm no help to her in this. And so I was driving down the road and I heard on the radio a song that talked about God not being interested in our ability, but being interested in our availability. That he didn't care about what we could do and all the things we had. He just wanted us to be available to him to use us however he saw fit. And man, I knew in that whisper of that song that that was God confirming that I just was supposed to go. And he would teach me and take care of me on the rest. And so I listened to that whisper. And we signed up and we took off, packed up, moved to Virginia. And I began to drive that 40-foot bus and loved it. It was one of the greatest things I've ever done. If you could drive, you know, it's like driving with the, you know, a bay window in your house kind of thing. And so I got to see all of, you know, America through the front windshield of that bus. Learn how to do sound, and that's even something that helps us today here, is just me being able to know some of the things to do back there. And so, listen, we need to be able to have that kind of communication with God, to listen when he speaks and be willing to follow when we hear him speak, whether it's loud or soft or however it is that he chooses to do it. Prayer is important. And we need to be able to have that in our lives. And so today you can know that you can pray and you can have that interaction with God. To be able to pray honestly, to pray continually, to pray about whatever it is, and then be able to listen for his response. Can we pray together? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the gift of prayer. To be able to communicate directly with you, God, to have conversation, to know that you hear us and that we can hear you as you speak back. God, I pray today that as we talk about being able to talk to you, it's from a relationship with you that we interact. And so God, today, for those that may be here who've never begun a relationship with you, I pray in these moments this would be the time that they choose to enter that relationship, to understand that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross, to pay the price for their sin, to be forgiven and set free of that sin through his death, to be able to confess those sins and be forgiven. And then God, to know that not only did he die for him, but God, you raised him from the dead on the third day to give us not only forgiveness here, but forgiveness for all eternity. And so God, for those that may be here that have never accepted that gift, may they do that today and be able to begin that relationship fresh and new with you from this point on. God, for those of us in the room who've already said we need to have a better prayer life, God, may we be willing to be honest with you, to pray about what it is that matters to us, to be able to pray continuously, knowing that you want to hear those desires. And God, then may we listen and may we do the things that you ask us to do. God, as the band plays in the next few moments, God, may we be willing to just listen to what it is in these moments that you have to say to us, to be willing to ask you to forgive us, to ask you to help us, whatever it may be. God, may we focus in on you and hear and communicate with you right now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.